I seemed to pass through the ceiling into the open air, but yet was able to look right into my bedroom. Then the room became misty and vanished. I seemed to be whirling on and on amid clouds and mists, and it seemed a long journey. But at length the mists began to take form. At first these were fantastic in shape, some like castles and cliffs, others like dragons and monsters, then fairy cities, minarets, and cupolas. At length these vanished, and, as the mists rolled away, I saw a vast landscape stretching away beneath me. First I saw high mountains and arid deserts, and, beyond these, a great wall of darkness. I appeared to be traveling away from this wall of darkness, and gradually the landscape became less forbidding. The rocky mountains became clothed with forests, the deserts covered with grass. By degrees it developed into the beautiful country I now knew so well, bathed in that curious evening glow. Concentrating my mind on Old Queen's College, I seemed to increase the speed of my flight. Almost for a moment I found myself actually in H.J.L.S. room. "Oh, boss," I said, "what do animals, such as fowl, which spend their whole life on earth hunting for food, do on this plane?" "They can have no occupation," he replied. "While they are on the astral plane, most animals still endeavor to get food. They go on grubbing about for it, and it is only by degrees that they learn that any food they appear to find is but a delusion, and that, in fact, they do not need it. Once that stage is reached, the animal generally passes onto this plane. Many animals, such as most of the carnivora, seem quite unable to learn this lesson, and remain on the astral plane still hunting astral deer, which they never catch." "J. W. Are there men who go on hunting animals which they never catch?" "H. J. L. Yes, there are even fox hunters, horses and all. But sooner or later they weary of the empty sham, for they never catch anything. Usually, however, the tables are reversed, and the hunter upon earth becomes the hunted there. Man is back in the primitive world without the aid of weapons, and again is liable to the life of fear which our early ancestors suffered. Not till he has learnt the great secret, the power of the human will, is he again free from that fear. But you must remember that the type of man who runs foul of the astral animals is the man who has hunted them on earth. All men don't have exactly the same experiences on the astral plane, any more than they do on this plane. When the animals reach this plane, they have done so because they have other interests besides eating. At times they still cast back and feebly hunt round. I know occasionally Molly misses a bone, just as I do my pipe. J. Why, there is Molly." And as I spoke, Molly emerged from under a sofa and came up to me, wagging her tail in quite a friendly way. H.J.L. continued, "Animals here become far more closely attached to us than they ever do on Earth. They certainly understand us better, and this compensates for the loss of more material amusements. You see, as we can perceive each other's thoughts, so we can, though to a lesser extent, perceive the animals' thoughts. They, too, visualize, but the difference lies in this: the average animal, not having learnt to think clearly, as we have, can only visualize a muddled sort of idea. But they tend to improve. Of course their ideas, at the best, are very simple. Still, it creates a bond of sympathy which is largely absent on Earth. Now just look at Molly's thought. Gone west." I, J. W., looked intently, but could perceive nothing at first. "I can't see anything. Perhaps she is not thinking of anything in particular." H.J.L. "On the contrary, she is thinking very deeply for a dog. That's why I thought you'd be able to see it, though, of course, you have not had any practice in developing that faculty. However, try again. Empty your mind of all personal thoughts and concentrate it on Molly. Fix your eyes on the tip of her nose." I laughed at the last sentence, but followed all his instructions. After a moment the whole room seemed to fade away, including even the dog herself, and in its place was a kind of light which grew into a picture similar to the clairvoyant pictures one sees in the crystal. And then I saw Carrie sitting in the boat at Weybridge, and Molly herself seated in the prow. The boat moved out of the boathouse into the river, and Carrie, who was wearing a white jersey, was rowing. There was no one else in the boat. Then the vision changed, and I saw Molly and Carrie seated in the garden at Weybridge. Tea was brought out, and Molly proceeded to lie down for a piece of cake. Then H. J. L.S. voice broke in, "Well, Jack, you could see her thoughts that time?" J. W. "Yes, but how did you know I could?" H. J. L. "Because I could see both your thoughts and hers, and they corresponded. We get fairly expert in reading people's thoughts here, but of course you are new to it. Well, I think that answers your question fairly well. You can easily understand that the more closely associated with man an animal is, the more it will develop. The more it develops, the more complicated will be the ideas which it will be able to remember or understand, and so communication between men and animals will become easier. For example, that thought of Molly's was fairly complicated. Many animals would have managed nothing more than a face of their mistress. If we wish to communicate an idea to an animal, we have to think of some very simple idea. Now watch. I'm going to think of Blanche." At once Molly jumped up and wagged her tail, and I perceived she was looking at the boss. Between both of them appeared a vision of Blanche about 2 years old, but whereas H. J. L. saw her in the garden at L. Molly only saw B. with no particular background. I knew this because Blanche stood out very clearly, while the garden at L. was much fainter, and I knew, by instinct, that this was because Molly had grasped the idea of Blanche, but not the more complicated idea of at L. Then it vanished, and H. J. L. said, "Yes, she got the first idea all right, but not did grasp that I meant at L. I dare say if you were to think of her at G, she'd grasp that all right. The remembrance of G, in connection with Blanche would be so much clearer to her." I tried, and at once Molly got very excited, jumped up on her hind legs, and began to walk towards me. At the same time I saw the vision of Blanche on the tennis lawn at G, and the background was nearly, though not quite, as clear as Blanche. In short, Molly had perceived practically the whole idea I had desired to convey. Then it faded again, and Molly retired once more under the sofa. H.J.L. "How high the most intelligent animals can travel with us I can't say, but you will see that there are possibilities of development for them here lacking on Earth. Of course, by telepathy even on Earth, animals are often able to read our thoughts to a limited extent, but it is generally in the matter of the cruder passions, such as fear of them or dislike. Further, they're often helped even in these cases by involuntary movements of our own. I think, however, that we've said enough on this subject for tonight. If you think over carefully what I have just told you, you will realize its importance more fully. If, then, any point requires further elucidation, why, ask me again. Gone West, J. W. Thanks. By the by, how are we communicating now? We appear to be talking. H.J.L., by telepathy. Our minds, used to the idea of talking, translate it into words, but of course we do not actually use words here. You would perceive the force of this at once if you were communicating with a Frenchman. To him you would appear to be talking in French, to you he would seem to be speaking in English. It is only when we get onto the earth plane and try to communicate through a medium that we have to employ actual language. Then, if we wish to speak to foreigners and did not know the language, we should have to learn it. This can be done, but I do not propose to go into exactly how just at the present moment. When we perceive each other's thoughts, our minds turn this perception into sight. Both are related to telepathy. But, for the sake of distinction, we can correlate perception of visions with clairvoyance. We can employ either method for communicating. With men, telepathy is slightly the easier, it seems to require less will exertion. With animals, however, I find the vision is the best method, probably because they have never spoken on Earth. But of course both methods merge. Even in your own case, when the officer has been telling you his adventures, you have at times not merely heard, but seen what he went through. J. W. Yes, that is so, though, when writing these visits down, I had not realized it. Well, You will realize it now. Here comes the officer. The officer, having finished his narrative, went out. H. J. L. then spoke, "Well, goodbye, Jack, for the time being. I then willed that I should return, and as I did so I seemed to rise in the air and pass out through the window. Again I saw beneath me the spirit landscape, with its beautiful meadows and wooded hills and dales. Clouds came drifting by and gradually covered it as by a mist. I could still perceive it for a time through the mist, which, however, grew thicker and thicker, till it appeared almost like layers of cotton wool. This solid mist gradually became even more solid and began to assume shapes. At first these were vague, indistinct, and colorless. But before long they took the form of moorlands broken into hills and valley. This landscape was far more barren than that which I had seen on the spirit plane. Still, it was not without a certain grandeur and beauty. Then by degrees color came into the landscape, though slowly. I seemed to be rushing above this country at a great pace, while at the same time drawing nearer to the earth. Speed. Speed. I noticed that the light was becoming stronger, and gradually I realized I was passing down the Rivlin Valley from the direction of the moors. Faster and faster I whirled, and Glen House appeared to spring up and rush to meet me. I seemed to pass clean through the walls of the room and pirouetted round the bed. Then I seemed to strike something with great force and lost consciousness. J. W. Gone West, Chapter 33, The Astral and Spirit Planes Compared, Trance Visit, Monday Night, June 15. As before, I felt myself traveling through space and saw the Earth landscape change for that of the spirit realms. On entering H. J. L.'s room I asked him, "What do you consider is the exact difference between a man on the astral plane and one on the spiritual?" H.J.L. "I understand what you mean. On the astral plane we are still to a certain extent material. We have, as it were, an etherealized material body. The astral plane consists of particles of very fine matter, much more etherealized, of course, than the gross atoms of the earth, but still matter. They stand somewhat in the same relations to the ordinary physical world that gases do to solids on Earth. This material body, being so ethereal, is of course much more completely dominated by the spirit for good or evil. It is the same thing with the astral landscape. In the spirit plane, however, matter has, for all intents and purposes, been left behind. It is with our forms that we clothe our souls. And the landscape and the buildings which you see now before you are the forms of those things when on Earth. Thus it is when we wish to become visible even to the clairvoyant upon Earth we usually have to clothe ourselves with a temporary astral form, just as, to make ourselves visible to ordinary folk, we have to materialize a temporary physical body. Mind you, there are clairvoyants who can see into the sixth plane, you are one, but most clairvoyants cannot. Even when a clairvoyant can, better results are often obtained by our clothing ourselves with an astral form. J. W. In dreams do we come to the astral or to the spiritual plane, or sometimes to one and sometimes to the other? H. J. L. Dreams are of many orders. Some are purely the invention of the human brain. They may be little more than the thoughts of the day worked over and redigested by the brain at night. Or they may be pure fiction, similar to the stories children tell themselves for amusement. The very materialistic have dreams of these two orders, and the most people at times have some of these. But many persons enter the astral plane in what they think are dreams, and a few, but very few, enter the spirit plane. You do so, but the reason is that you are mediumistic, and, still more important, because I call you. Very few have such a privilege. And even those who do seldom bring away so clear a recollection. We help you to remember, but it is true that experiences on the spirit plane, appertaining to the spirit as they do, seem to remain attached to the spirit and are more vivid than those of the astral plane, which, being more akin to earth life, become distorted as the astral reunites with the physical. It is as if the physical brain attempted to explain astral phenomena by physical laws and largely failed. But recognize the hopelessness of trying to do so with the spiritual. Far more people get onto the astral plans in their sleep. They come wandering along the fringe of it, as it were, often apparently half-dazed, as if their connection with their bodies rendered them only partly conscious of the astral world in which they moved. The astral body, of course, is often unable to leave the physical body owing to the gross and material life such people live, and even when it can get out of the physical it cannot or dare not go any distance from it. But perhaps you would like to see some of these visitors to the edge of the astral plane? J. W. I should, but what of the officer? Gone west, H.J.L. Oh, I'll tell him not to come. He appeared to concentrate his thoughts for a moment, and as I watched him I saw the face of the officer visualize before him and then fade away again. H.J.L. Now we will go to the plane where the worlds meet. First I shall have to clothe myself with an astral body, however. J. W. And what of me? Shall I not need an astral body too? H.J.L. Yes. Where did you leave yours? J. W. I don't know. Do you think it will be with my physical? H.J.L. We had better ask our guardian spirits. As he spoke, a light appeared behind him, growing stronger and stronger, till I could hardly bear to look at it. As it grew stronger, it took the form of the glorious spirit I had seen before overshadowing H. J. L. Like a silver trumpet he spoke, "Return and fetch from your bed your astral body." Gone West, Chapter 34, A Visit with H. J. L. To the astral plane. The dreamers, at once I seemed to be caught up in strong hands and whirled away into space. Once more I stood within my bedroom, but instead of sinking into unconsciousness, I suddenly appeared clothed with a more substantial body than that which a moment before I had possessed. Yet my physical body still lay asleep in bed. I turned at the sound of H. J. L.'s voice, and saw that he too looked different. For one thing, he looked older. In the spirit world he appeared a good deal younger than when on Earth. Here he looked stronger, but not so very much younger. There was also a more subtle difference, but I do not know how to describe it. "This is not my own astral body," explained H. J. L., "that disintegrated almost as soon as I died, as I told you. This is only a temporary body made out of the astral elements which are floating about. I have done my best to impress my form upon it as I remember it upon Earth. Now come with me." I noticed that the room seemed shadowy and semi-transparent, so did my body, which lay on the bed, and so, indeed, did all the Earth phenomena. The body I now wore seemed, however, solid and real, and we passed through the shadowy walls without the slightest difficulty. I said to H. J. L., "Earth things and people now look to me as you do when I see you at Mr. K.'s clairvoyantly." H. J. L. "Yes, I can quite believe that. There are many astral beings who cannot see the physical world for a long time after they have passed over, just as ordinary Earth dwellers cannot see them. All the same, this double vision is a bit of a nuisance, so will that you shall see only the astral plane." I did so, and at once the shadowy house and landscape faded quietly away. H. J. L. took my hands and said, "Quick!" And we seemed to be rushing through space. It seemed neither dark nor light, but betwixt and between, and then we stopped. "Here come some of the dreamers," said H. J. L., and we waited. Now I could not see the landscape very clearly, for it seemed all grey and shrouded in mist, but I could perceive there were hills and dales and castles and woods, trees and wide expanses of water, but all was indistinct and grey. "Is it always like this, grey and shadowy?" I inquired. H. J. L. replied, "Oh dear, no. But you are more used to the spirit realms and so not attuned to these. But to many spirits who know no brighter place, this seems full of colors, but not even to all of them. This is a land of change, a halfway house, as it were, between the physical and the spiritual plane, therefore it seems somewhat unreal and changing to denizens of either plane. So, too, the elements which form it are ever changing, and, being very malleable, often assume forms in consonance with the wills of those who pass through them, even when they are sleepers dreaming. You understand, form which is eternal goes to the spirit plane, hence form here is not stable except where it is the living astral form. I mean the elemental forms have no stable form of their own. But see, here come a few of the visitors from Earth to us. As he spoke, I noticed that large bands of spirits were floating towards us. Soon more and more passed swiftly by. Then it grew into a continuous stream. Sometimes there would come a crowd together, but at other times they would be spread out into ones and twos. Ever and anon across this stream of dreamers would float a real denizen of the astral plane. It was easy to see the difference, but almost impossible to describe it in detail. However, one noticeable difference was that those still living on Earth had trailing away behind them a thread of light. These are threads, unlike material threads, never became, gone west, entangled as the astral beings moved about. It seemed as if each cord was able to pass through any other cord without severing it. There were many other differences more difficult to describe. When I turned to comparing these with myself, I perceived that many of them had their eyes shut, and with their arms stretched out in front of them they looked like people walking high their sleep. But not all were like this. Some had their eyes wide open, and seemed to be hunting for someone, and a few seemed to be idly wandering through a strange landscape, stopping every now and then to gaze at it. Such a motley crowd of all ages and conditions, not only men, women, and children, but even animals. I saw a dog among the visitors, who caught sight of a rabbit, and at once gave chase. "Now look at the dreams these people are dreaming and the friends they are seeking," said H. J. L. I noticed a woman. In front of her floated a thought visualization of a little child. The thought seemed to float away from her, and she kept following, crying bitterly. Then suddenly the real astral form of the child came running up, and in a moment the thought child was shattered, but the mother gave a glad cry and flung out her arms towards the astral and took it in her arms. She sat down there and then and hugged the child and talked to it just as she would have done on Earth. The child, a boy, appeared to be about 6 years old. Then I saw a man about 30, who came with eyes wide open and evidently expecting to find someone. In a few moments he was met by a young woman. "Who are these?" I said, "for I can see that they are both alive upon Earth." H. J. L. replied, "I cannot say who they are. But I can tell you this about them, that man is twin soul to that girl. He has not met her yet on Earth, but he has on the astral plane. Whether they will ever meet on Earth I do not know, but I hope so. But look at that bear." I saw a man and woman approach each other with delight. But floating near the woman was a thought form of an elderly man. By his face I should say he was a Jew, and I knew, as by instinct, that this was the woman's husband, whom she had married for money, while the younger man, with whom she was now speaking, was the man she really loved, whom she had refused in order to marry the Jew. "Now look at these," said H. J. L. I heard an agonized shriek, and saw one man pursued by another who had a knife in his hand. The hunted man kept looking over his shoulder, and every now and then he gave a piercing shriek. His face was livid, and his whole attitude betokened abject fear. "What does this mean?" I began. H.J.L. "It's fairly obvious that for some reason the dark man considers he has been done a great wrong by the fair man, and when they meet on the astral plane, he acts as he would like to act on Earth." J.W. "Will they remember this experience when they awake on Earth?" H.J.L. "I can't say for certain, but I think they will each retain some remembrance, although it will very likely be a distorted one. But look, who is that?" J.W. "Why, it's the Pater. What on earth is he doing here?" H.J.L. "Hardly an appropriate exclamation, eh? But why shouldn't your father come here? He's just dreaming like everyone else. Perhaps he'll recognize you." But he went past, busily engaged in seeking for someone, and never seemed to see me, and as he passed I saw the thought form of his father floating before him. "Will he meet his father here?" I inquired. H.J.L. "Not very likely. Old Horatio is very comfortable in the division of faith without acts and not likely to come out here often. Gone west, my father disappeared among the crowd, and as for a moment there was a lull in the throng that were continually sweeping by us, I turned again to H. J. L. and said, does place exist on the astral plane in the same way as it does on Earth? H. J. L. To a certain extent, for not only have we, as you see, an astral landscape, but that landscape tends to correlate with the surface of the physical world. Thus, at the present minute we are near London, that is why there is such a crowd of spirits, but though the landscape tends to correlate, our astral bodies are not bounded by time and space in the same way as they are on Earth. We can rush from one part of the Earth to another in next to no time. Nor do the astral landscapes exactly correspond to landscapes on Earth, for there are, as it were, many layers of astral landscape, because the same district at various periods of the Earth's history will present very different aspects, as, for example, the site of London has not only held prehistoric forest, but at times it has been covered by the ocean itself. J. W. Landscape, so far as I can see it, is not the same as the one in which London now stands. H. J. L. Of course, but it is some not very ancient past landscape. But see who comes here. J. W. Why, it's Carrie. The whole family seems to be here. H. J. L. Oh no, they are not, but all the same a very large number of people do come night after night onto the astral plane. There are some people who have a regular and continuous life here, just as they have on Earth, only when they awake, as a rule, they remember nothing of it. The astral day ends for them with falling asleep, just as the physical day does, and it is seldom that a very clear recollection of either state is carried into the other. More, however, is remembered by the astral memory than by the physical. Still, there are people who are alive on Earth, yet when they are here they have no recollection of it and imagine they live here only. Such people often don't even know when they die, but are surprised when they don't fall asleep. Most astrals, however, do keep some remembrance of their Earth life, and may come here with fixed recollections of some Earth friend whom they desire to find. Many people also occasionally remember in a distorted manner fragments of their experiences here. There are also some who seldom, if ever, come here till death. They are so materialistic that the astral cannot escape from the physical. Gross feeders and heavy drinkers in particular chain their astral bodies to their physical, but I am going to speak to Carrie. See, she is seeking me. He made his way through the passing dreamers to where Carrie was standing, looking round as if seeking someone. I could see her thought visualization, and it was of her father as she remembered him sitting in his armchair in the dining room at L. She herself was clad in a long white dress of simple cut, but not precisely like anything I have ever seen her wear on Earth. As soon as she saw him, she hastened towards him with delight. How are you getting on, boss? It's such an age since I saw you. H. J. L. Yes, it is. I'm glad you came here tonight. I'm right enough, but what do you think of the revelations we are sending through? She looked puzzled and said, what revelations? I don't remember any. H. J. L. Oh, nonsense. Yes, you do. Only you are still half asleep. Wake up. The ones we are sending through by Jack. By the by, here is Jack. Carrie then noticed me for the first time. Though I had seen her from the first, had not obtruded my presence, wishing her to devote her time to H. J. L. Why, what are you doing here? She began. Come to that, I replied, what are you? But, indeed, in my case it's my usual, Monday night's excursion, and this time boss has brought me to see you folk who enter the astral plane. I wonder whether you'll remember having met me when you awake? Gone west, H. J. L. It's not very likely. If she remembers anything at all it will probably be me, as that was the thought visualization which came here with her. Well, Carrie, do you recollect now? C. W. Yes, I do remember vaguely, but like in a dream. But how are you yourself? I have not seen you for a long time. H. J. L. Well, very well, nothing at all wrong. Never better in all my life. I wouldn't be back on your pokey, silly, shadowy earth for anything you could give. I'm hoping, though, that a few old friends will join me soon from your side. C. W. Whose house is that?